This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Dear Albie, Chris is here.
Hello.
Dad's here.
What's going on?
You know, we're piggybacking right off this. This question came in, and I love it. I absolutely love it. And we just gotta jump into this thing head first. We do. We just have to. So we haven't talked about, you know, for a show that really, I still to this moment get a tag and a pineapple every 2 seconds. You know, we haven't really gotten into this swinger stuff lately. And we got this coming in through the Gmail. Subject, swing friends want to spend Christmas together. Is it too much? And I love this. This is great. Dear Albie, longtime listener to the show.
Swingle all the way.
Nice. Okay. All right.
Jingle balls. Swingle bells.
Jingle balls.
Jingle balls.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Anything
I'm
else?
Trying to name the episode.
Swinger, you're going to go Christmas, Swinger Christmas Carols. Do you have anything off the top of your head?
Swingle bells is my first
no,
entry.
Chris is the idea guy with that. He's
all creative. I want for Christmas is you and you.
Nice. All right. You can keep going. I'll randomly pepper them in as we go.
I'm trying to think. Anything else off the top of the head?
Rocking Around the Christmas 3.
Nice. Okay. Very well.
All I want for Christmas is my two hot bitches.
Okay. Sure. Sure. Yeah.
There's no bad ideas. Yeah, no bad idea room.
Yeah. This is good.
Keep going with the episode. I'll throw them in every
now
and then.
We'll have that just kind of continue to flow. I just got the one for Jingle Bell Rock, and I'm going to keep this moving. I'm not going to actually say it. So
we
anyway,
should actually have a little contest for who comes up with the best Christmas.
Swinger Christmas Carol.
Swinger Christmas Carol name. I'll take name. That.
We'll works. Send him a T-shirt or something.
You know,
I got a lot of T-shirts in my drawer. Someone,
dear Albie, here we go.
We should just be like, we're sending you a T-shirt, just a T-shirt.
Yeah, just like literally anything.
Haynes
just,
T-shirt, you know,
and
a tag
just
on
one
it.
Of those. Anyway, dear Albie, longtime fan of the show, and one little Whoa. Hiccup move, little hiccup. I feel silly now. Anyway, dear Albie, longtime fan of the show. Congrats again on the wedding. I wanted to bring it back to its roots of the old pineapple. I have been in this sort of a lifestyle for quite some time, never written into the show, but thought you might enjoy this, and it's quite timely.
Rudolph the brown-nosed reindeer.
No?
No. Face in a butt?
No, not for me.
No? All right.
Yeah.
That was a no bad idea.
You know? It just wasn't.
Dad liked
I don't know.
It.
I don't know. It just wasn't for me.
I think it's too on the nose.
So,
get it?
I'm in a bit of an unconventional situation and can really use some advice. My husband and I are part of a swinging community, and we've become close friends with another couple. Recently, they proposed the idea of spending Christmas together. While I'm open-minded and enjoy their company, I can't help but feel that this might be crossing a line. My father is rubbing his head with a paper towel, and it's coming in very clear on the things here.
Wow, it's incredible.
Over.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
Santa
that's,
Claus
that's
is coming to is. Town just low-hanging fruit. We all get
yeah, yeah, right. yeah, yeah. You know. Anyway, while I'm open-minded and enjoy their company, I can't help but feel this might be crossing a line. Christmas has always been a family-oriented holiday for me, and the thought of blending this with our swinging lifestyle feels a bit over the top. My husband seems intrigued by the idea and doesn't think it's a big deal. However, I'm torn between wanting to maintain the special family aspect of the holiday and not wanting to disappoint our friends or my husband. Is it unreasonable for me to want Christmas celebration traditional and separate from our swinging lifestyle? We are close friends with them outside of that's, you know, I keep thinking of ideas. We are close friends with them outside of that situation, but still something about this represents a cross line to me. Am I making too big of a deal out of this? How should I approach this with my husband and our friends without causing anyone to be upset? But I'm looking forward to your thoughts.
Got a whole lot of questions for you.
I was thinking of a lot of Christmas songs there. It's very much in line with should we swing on Christmas is kind of the question, right? Should we celebrate Christmas with our swinging couple?
They swing, but the other couple wants to spend Christmas with them.
But I'm sure they want to swing too that night, right?
I don't think you can be doing it that night. It doesn't suggest that to me. It doesn't read that. They're close friends.
So we could do a follow-up if he's listening, okay? So let's check a few boxes. Number one, do you have family like children and other siblings that you usually spend Christmas with? That, in my opinion, would be not right. I mean, I don't know how desperate you are to find an extra day to hook up. I mean, you'll be okay. You know, have your regular Christmas, invite dad, mom, the kids, everybody, no matter whatever age group you're in. And have a normal Christmas. And if you'd like to have the friends over, add them to the family Christmas thing. It's kind of fun to have.
What do you say, though? Like, oh, these are my pickleball friends.
Oh, no, I'm sure they know them. They're probably friends with them. Oh, we just invited – how many time do we have random friends join us for Christmas here?
What happens? You know, the wrong aunt brings a pineapple to Christmas just for dessert, and next
thing
you know –
Yeah, there you go.
It's
bottom line is this. You know, I would definitely – do family first, make sure everybody's doing their normal Christmas and enjoying. And then, you know, hey, look, Christmas time, you start 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. By 7-8 o'clock, you're saying goodnight to everybody. The friends kind of hang out a little longer and you turn it into a freak show. Whatever you got to do.
I number one, I think this is a really easy one to get out of, right? Saying, hey, you know, like, we make it more of a family thing, whatever. The husband being interested in it, I guess, you know, she's worried about upsetting him too. I would definitely advise keeping that stuff separate. You know, they didn't really break down if they got kids and everything there, but I think especially if you do have kids there. I don't know. I just feel like that's a weird one for me, even if you're into that kind of lifestyle, to know your partner's being sized up in the room, even if it's like a normal thing. Because I'm not getting like, this isn't like a, hey, let's, you know, show up in wrapping paper and see what happens. You know what I mean?
No, listen.
They're just friends. But once you do that, I don't know.
I've found so much. I mean, we've talked about this on the air. So a lot of people have come to me and, you know, with a wink and a smile and say, oh, you know, by the way, you know who's into that lifestyle. So I've had employees, customers. We've done events for swingers that at a certain time, you know, the host is telling the staff, okay, time to go now. You know, well, we got a lot more cleanup. No, we'll get the cleanup and get them out of there.
Like at?
We're talking about catering events off-site.
I thought they were like trying to black the windows out.
At people's homes that have every intention of going hardcore swing.
Right.
Okay? It's not a secret that Wayne, New Jersey was like the capital of swinging for a while.
It's a big swinging.
Really? There's a lot of swinging. I mean, like someone said that when there was a breach in one of those websites that the swingers go to, that the biggest zip code of the whole app was the Wayne zip code. So it's not as crazy as you might think. A lot more people are doing that stuff than you would imagine. The few people that I've talked to about it that have approached me on it because of the show, because we talked about it on the show, they explain that they have a completely – it's almost like two lives. You know, they're completely anonymous to everybody in their world, and they have this whole swing world going on. Their kids would never believe
it. But is it appropriate for Christmas?
I'm getting there. So the bottom line is – if you do all your Christmas obligations, I don't know if they have family, if they don't have family. I'm assuming they've got parents that come over on the holidays, cousins, aunts, and uncles. Let's assume that for a second. Have your regular Christmas. Everybody goes home eventually, right? 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, time to go to bed. We're tired, long day, long holiday season. Okay. Now, if you want to play after that, God bless you. What's a big deal? So I'm not saying Don't play. Play. Get the family obligation out of the way. There's 365 days a year. If you have to, if you can't go crazy on Christmas night, then deal with it. It's okay. You're not that desperate. Obviously, if you're living that kind of lifestyle, you're not desperate for sex or any kind of crazy. So God bless you. Go have a good time.
I imagine swinging is something only for people with large beds. I don't really think about the economics of it, really. Well, but can you – is it like a first world problem thing? Like, can the extremely poor swing? Like, if you have a studio apartment – I just saw
– Well, they don't swing in their own house most of the time,
I saw an Instagram ad for a small apartment, and it was like 200 feet. Like nothing. You know, it was like a New York City. You know, there's like New York City, never guess how much money it is. You know,
No, the one couple,
like,
the
I
one
think
the,
of now I'm wondering.
The one couple that worked for me that went into that lifestyle that I was I didn't know them as a couple. They were both single when they worked there, and it was a bartender and a server, and they ended up getting married, and they moved to a different state, and I believe the one. They were actually so successful at hosting events. So they would charge you like $100 if you're a couple, and they'd have a little food, they'd have some booze, and then like playrooms that you
Is
would
that
go.
Illegal?
Yeah, no, it's not illegal. No,
but if you're charging, at that point you're kind of running like a brothel, are you not?
No, you're not. No. You're not arranging for sex. You like it's BYOP.
Okay.
And I think the idea is basically you're paying for the expenses, the alcohol.
Maybe that.
You're contributing.
Yeah, like, well, you go in, you get a little.
Well, that's the excuse, but they are profiting. Now,
are they not participating? Are they
I guess they're hosting.
Are they just hosting
I suppose they're paying for the cleanup. You think they're paying for the
cleanup? I didn't get into that level of intensity with the questioning, but
they are
hosting these events. And they are creating opportunities for people to network, if you will. And then there's either, you know, there's all levels. They say there's some this kind of swapping and that kind of swapping and whatever stuff there is. But they make an opportunity for a large number of people, 15, 20, 30 people, to go at, you know, to interact.
A dear Albie family member, I don't mean Manzo family member, I mean a family, someone who's on this show every now and again, who was recently propositioned for a swing.
Oh, he's been propositioned a million times.
And I feel like you might want to bring it to his door eventually, yeah. Al.
No. I think the person you're thinking about is...
I would say his name typically, I just want
to get propositioned almost like once a week.
Yeah, and that makes me wonder, Urbano we're talking about obviously, he's more often than not, he's propositioned.
He's very often, yes.
So that brings me to this question. Do you think, maybe you guys have different experiences than me, I wouldn't do it anyway, but do I not catch the signs or does no one ask me? Is it something I'm doing? Is it the way I look? Do I not give off the vibe? Or do I miss their signals? Because, like, for the amount he's offered, you know, you'd imagine we got to be good for, like, for every 10 he gets. You don't think you've gotten one offer, like a soft one that you just didn't realize was an offer?
Hmm.
How many times have I missed it? Like, I wonder this a lot.
Well, there's a code.
Yeah, like, I always wonder how many times have I seen someone in real life that I've seen on the road? You know what I mean? Like, who have I beeped at that, like, maybe I saw them at a 7-Eleven 2 weeks later? And just there's no way of ever knowing. I just wonder. So, same thing. Like, how many things have I been offered that I just didn't realize that that's what was happening? Because I'm very aloof to certain things.
Well, listen, I don't think this applies to swingers only, but to people in general. I would think it's fair to say that most people, especially women, men are more prepared for this. But women and everyone really does not like rejection. Now, for a man to be rejected, it's probably like something they're used to a degree, depending on who they are. But the females, when they put themselves out there, that's why there's all the subtlety, you know, because they want to be able to cover their butts if they are getting the wrong vibe or the person that they're pursuing is not interested. they could say, well, I wasn't meaning that. That's not what I was saying. So, yes, it starts off extremely subtle and then becomes more and more, you know. I mean, but it would be unheard of for someone to walk up to somebody and say at a bar, wow, you look really hot. I have an apartment a block away. Why don't we go to my place and go at it.
Makes it seem that's how he's approached on a fairly regular basis. And I don't know if it's just, you know, do you think it's just because of his energy is very, well, he seems very.
You know, he's got that good looking European type body look about him. You know, he's good looking and he's got a fit body.
And the references he makes are very forward.
Definitely has I'm a very sexual person vibe going on about him. Yeah.
I think he would say thank you to that, right?
Oh, for sure. But I mean, you know what? It's funny to me though, because I just feel like with
this Reed voice,
this brings up to me, like the conduct at these places. Like if you're in a community, right? And you guys go back, it's not like it's a country club, but I mean, imagine, you know, there's just some small talk and you say, oh, hey, yeah, the Smiths invited us over for Christmas and like the Johnsons, you know, no pun intended, no. Are there. Like, why didn't we get invited? You know what I mean? I just also think that, you know, Christmas, maybe you leave it alone. Maybe you have your separate little, like a holiday party, like anything else.
Like a Friendsgiving. Doing this. Like a Friendsgiving for swinger Christmas.
Yeah, right.
But do they look at this also as maybe they just want to be friends? And where do you take that?
Well, yeah, do you lose
like,
the
can
friendship?
You be friends with somebody that's like, no, you know what this is?
Well, it sounds like they were friends before even too. But I just feel like I'm with the wife here. I just don't think you bring that in. I think you need the boundaries for the swinging. And we've had just so much in the pineapple world. We've been exposed to it a bunch. So I just think you need a boundary there. Not for me. It's not for me.
I'm wondering now, though, because again, I'm just down a different. I'm in a weird train of thought today, but I'm wondering how many times, like, have we been around? Like, you've probably been at someone's house for like a nice dinner night, and like when you left, they're like, "Oh, I was with the swinging friends."
I've heard,
and they were feeling us out. Like,
maybe
like, was I ever there with like a date or whatever at someone's house, and they'll be like, "All right, I could tell they're not interested."
I've heard that. Yes. I've had that conversation.
Because I've been to a lot of parties where I'm like, everyone seems like they know each other really well, except for me and the person I'm here with. And now I'm thinking like maybe that's what I was feeling. Not that this like bond that they've been friends for such a long time. They all bang each other.
I don't know.
Going back to the rejection thing, I've been meaning to tell – I don't know if you guys know this about me. I have like a big – I don't like being rejected. I have a big fear of rejection. Not fear, but I don't like being rejected to the point – when I go to a store, I won't ask for something because I don't like being told we don't have that. I'd rather just look for it, and if you don't have it, I'll assume.
Let's explore this. Go ahead.
That's it. No, that's my biggest part.
Where do you think this comes from? How does it make you feel?
I think from getting what I want most of the early parts of my life.
Wow.
You know, not from my parents and stuff. Just shit just kind of worked out for me for a pretty long time.
Got it.
And
you don't want this streak.
That's just not a tangible thing. Yeah, it's not something that you
got it
are born with. It's just shit worked out in the first half. You know, things work out all the time now, still too, of course. But not, you know, I don't bat 1,000 like I used to. But I don't know. For some reason, I really like being rejected. I won't call if like a restaurant like and ask if they have like a reservation. I won't do that.
So that's troubling to you that you get a no from a restaurant?
It's not like triggering. I don't like pull my hair out and like cry. But I'm a little unreasonable when it comes to being rejected.
100%. Wow, that's a little weird.
I won't go. Like if we're going to like a supermarket and we're looking for, you know, like something a little more weird, right? Like a gluten-free pizza crust. I won't ask. I don't like being told no. I'll just go find it. And if I can't find it, then I'll just assume that you don't have it.
Huh.
And I'll leave.
Interesting.
Before I hear the word
no. See, I like being told no because I'm not wasting my time looking for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like being told. Like, I didn't go. We went to Brooklyn one time. You weren't there. I was in Brooklyn one time. And I was going to go to Lucali. And I don't mean to talk badly because I've never had it. And they do a great job. God bless them, blah, blah. But there was a guy at a velvet rope. And I think like a carpet almost. But a guy guarding a velvet rope. And I saw people outside. And I was like, you know what? I don't think I can be reasonable being told by a man behind a velvet rope that I can't have pizza today. I don't think I'll be reasonable about that. That it annoys me. So I didn't even ask him. Went all the way there and I just went somewhere else. Huh. I didn't even talk to the guy because I heard other people saying, oh, that's a little ridiculous. Hopefully they can get us in before the day is over. And I was like, I can go and I could probably try to charm. You know, mom likes to charm somebody. She likes to go in, face them head on.
Yeah.
She likes hearing those so she could convince them otherwise.
Yeah, then she feels like empowered.
I don't like that. I don't like haggling with anybody. I don't like convincing you that I'm important. I don't like the idea of someone telling me behind a rope that I can't have their pizza. It's pizza. It annoys me, and I won't do it. And that I just didn't allow myself the rejection. I didn't allow myself the opportunity to be rejected.
Hmm. The occasion for object.
I didn't like. I didn't like the opportunity of it even existing. So I just didn't even walk up to the door because there was a man safeguarding pizza, and I thought that was weird. I think that's everything pizza isn't.
Come all ye playful.
Nice. I'll just say, come on ye faithful.
I think come on ye faithful is even better. Yeah.
I have a few. I didn't know if you got, but a lot of it writes itself. But yeah, that's my. No, that's what I wanted to tell you guys. I don't like being rejected, no, and look, I think it's weird because mom's the opposite. Mom likes being rejected and changing their mind. It's like her favorite thing. Quick disclaimer: that was way before TV that she was like that.
I like to get a fast no. You know what I mean? If it's going to be, you know, I'd rather not waste X amount of time. You know what I mean? Like. In figuring something out, and that comes to everything, business, all kinds of stuff. To me, if it's going to be no, just get there fast. And that's just kind of me.
Yeah, listen, as far as this question is concerned, I think you take a look at your circumstances. Of course, you know them. If you have family, forget the threesome unless you can conveniently have them come over later or have them join you and stick around when everybody else is leaving. That's all fair. But no, the holiday is definitely a priority. You're not going to say, no, we're not having Christmas this year because I'm getting wildly fucked by six people. I mean, this is insane. So, you know,
put it off till
tomorrow. Put it off till tomorrow. New Year's Eve would be good. You could do New Year's Eve. That'd be fair enough. That's a kind of a crazy night. But yeah, you gotta put the family.
You know what? That seems like a good compromise. Why don't we spend New Year's together?
Yeah,
Christmas is family. Yep. But they say there's kids involved. If they're just like a single young couple, then I guess...
They didn't get too into it, but I think, look, I think we're all very united and you shouldn't do it, all right? We're with you. Now it's how do you bring it up to the husband, okay? And I think it's just like that. Like, look, I get it, okay? But I want to be in this kind of mind frame on Christmas, okay? I want to be around my family and everything else, okay? I don't want to be even reminded of other things that we do, you know? Like, if you go, okay, and you're like a major, you know... You're a swimming enthusiast. You're not going to show up to Christmas, okay, with your Speedo and your goggles on. You're not going to do that. I'm leaving that out of this. It's not the time or place.
But if you love Christmas and you love swinging, it's a pretty big day for you.
Well, I feel like if you're into swinging, I don't know that there's a lot of like meh swingers.
See,
I feel like you got to kind of love it.
I always maybe imagine drag there, swinging.
That's no good.
I always imagine swinging is something akin to... Like a skydiving enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we like to think that swingers are these like constant every weekend things where I feel like it's really more of closer to like a two or three times a year thing.
Well,
and what if Christmas is like, that's my day. It's what I do on Christmas.
I feel like if you're going to be a swinger, you have to, you know, as a couple, if you're a swinger couple, you guys got to like it the same. You can't have one that likes it like, 100%. Another person likes it even 80%.
I can't imagine that's a real thing, though.
I think what you have to realize is there's about as many different types of that activity as there are people doing it. In other words, everybody has a different set of rules. So you're not going to have – there's not like a rule book where if you are considered a swinger that you – do certain things. Everybody's got their own game plan. And this is what my friend that used to bartend has explained to me. You know, some people like this, some people like that, some people, you know, this is great, that's a home run, this is some people say no way, it's insane. So you have to whittle it down to the people that want to play with your rules. And once you do that, it may be a little bit of a time. You know, where I think the guy in question that I'm talking about took like a year to really get it figured out. And, you know, now they have their little parties and they do what they do. But it's a lot more than two or three times a year. It's probably like once or twice a month.
Yeah. I mean, I would think, like, you know, at least you're going as far as to call it a community. I don't think you just get active like that.
Well,
for sure. No,
well, I think it's kind of like being a Swiftie, you know, where there's the people that know what every song and every meaning means. And there's the people that just appreciate a good song and they like her whole thing. And then everyone's accepted in that community.
There's terms now that they're using, which are they're kind of like identifying your basic style, and it's a whole thing. You could spend all kinds of time like understanding it, but it's a little much for somebody that, you know, prefers a more conventional lifestyle, but certainly would never be boring, I guess. I don't know. There's a lot to it.
I don't know why. You know, we watched the Flower Moon movie the other night, Chris and I. I don't know why my brain goes here, okay? In any, at least a period piece, sex scene in a movie, okay? Or just thinking about things back in the day. And for whatever reason, my brain goes here on a swingers club. It's going to smell really weird, man.
Yeah, it smells.
And that doesn't, you know.
What was that movie about?
I don't do well with
it
that.
It wasn't about it's like any swinging 19, or sexually anything,
no,
really.
No, I mean, like they're just having a sex scene in like the early 1900s or like the late 1800s.
When I heard De Niro's voice in the trailer doing the same voice that he did for the Navy diver movie.
Yep.
That turned me right off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't think
you know, if you said that in the beginning of the movie, you would have ruined the movie.
Can I tell you something? I think De Niro, for the last several movies, has been mailing it in.
Oh yeah.
Okay. He did his great work 25 years ago. Okay. The guy's done. Okay. He is done. D-O-N-E, done. And he's just not who he was. He's gotten all woke and crazy. He's out of his fucking mind. I wouldn't even say hello to him on the street. If I walked by him, I wouldn't even look at him. He is done. The Irishman movie, that sucked ass. Okay. That movie sucked. And anybody that likes it is just full of shit, in my opinion, because that movie was a disaster. I was dying to watch it. I thought it was going to be great. This movie here, I was excited because I think Leo's still great, a great actor. Nobody could argue that. Leo's great. Okay. He's an amazing actor. But the minute I heard him do that, hey, cookie, you know, that voice.
It wasn't good.
Holy shit. Okay. This guy's not acting. He's freaking mailing it in. It's the same character in a different outfit.
So do you think it used to smell? And
that's where I was going with
what
the
used to smell. What was the sex part?
Back in the day? Back in the
Oh my god! Well, you know why they invented it. You know why the French are famous for perfume, right? I mean, come on. You ever see the French? They have this little, you know, old school shit. Not
like
now.
The sprayers. No.
They open up this little box. And they put their finger in the box, and then they go like this. They put it under their nose. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you got people can't see me. You have like a pill box. You put this gook on your finger, and you put it right at your nostrils. Okay, you know what that was about? That was to breathe something that wasn't foul because everything stunk. So, it's famous that Louis the 13th, no 14th. The sun king, he took 3 baths in his entire life.
Yeah, it's no thanks. Okay.
What?
No, thank you.
3 baths.
That's when
in
people
his
are
life.
Bathing you. That's when a bath is cool. Like, they're going to fill the tub for you. I understand if you're poor and you're like, oh, it's a lot of work to take a bath. And
they used to think that a fine layer of dirt was keeping the germs away. I mean, this is like cuckoo stuff. But the guy's junk had to reek. Reek.
Well, that's what brought me to my question about is swinging a rich man's game? That's what brought it up, to be honest with you, is I just can't imagine it in a small, confined space. Like,
why would it be smelly? Yeah, if you're clean, you take a shower,
like
you're clean.
If you're into that, you're into that. I feel like it just
helps. I don't think
smelling is the problem. If everybody's clean, it's not going to smell. But here's another freaky one, okay, talking about the French. Napoleon famously requested Josephine, his wife at the time, not to bathe for at least a week in anticipation of him returning back home from whatever battle it was, because he liked her ripe.
Well, also, if you're out doing the battle thing for like the campaign for months and years at a time, you're probably used to some foul shit.
Sure. I mean,
so
you have to, versus the foul of people
shitting in a trough.
Is there any question that you would grow accustomed to the stench? I mean, I remember we were in Italy, and there you would come across a ripe one or two. But I mean, I remember being in Italy in the 70s, and there was a lot of ripe ones. There's a lot less of that now.
There's some awful smelling people.
I feel like
when you think about everyone smelt that way, next time you encounter a really smelly, body odor drenched person, think about how that person was probably the best smelling person at like the turn of the century.
Well, don't forget, they used to dump the bedpans in Versailles, let's say, the Palace of Versailles.
It's like out the window, right?
No, they would take the bedpans and they would dump them in the flower beds outside of the courtyard.
Wow.
The stench had to be unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And there's really no way of
everywhere
being able – I mean, could you imagine recreating – say, well, let's do an experiment and no one's going to bathe for a month – and we're going to have like some kind of a thing to get some idea of how bad it reeked in those days. But all you need to know is that little pill box with the stuff that they would put on their nose, like almost like Vicks, and it was perfumey. And the French were famous for developing and creating perfume to cover the body odor up. That's what its purpose was.
It's rough.
Pirate ships had to be the worst smelling thing.
Wow.
Well, Al wants to get out of this so bad. I really just want to talk about things that probably smell bad.
I know.
You think spaceships smell bad?
It probably smell a little weird, yeah. You know, I don't know how the ventilation works in there. Dear Albie Mailbag at gmail.com. Please hit us up on the Insta. We love you guys. I'm going to get back to the swinger. I'm going to ask some of these questions, some of these hard-hitting questions. And that's it. Catch you later.